Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest, Dr. Gilboa, or Dr. G, as she likes to be called, is a clinical associate professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. She's got a medical degree, and she's written a number of books on helping teach children to be, or helping, maybe it's helping teach parents to be better parents. Dr. G, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about why you got into this field of parenting, why you started writing about it.
So I'm a family doc, which means the same thing here in the States that it does in Canada. I see kids and their parents and their grandparents. And what I found in my 14 years of practice is that when parents are effective, kids get healthier.
So when parents are effective, kids get healthier. Let's talk about that. What does that mean?
It means that when parents can effectively communicate what it is they need from their kids, what's best for their kids to do, and have some expectation of being listened to, kids have better sleep, better study habits, better character, but they are also demonstrably healthier. And those skills of communicating to our kids the values that they have, those are really important, but it's something that is not a given. I have four kids of my own, and it can be really challenging to guide their behaviors in ways that we consider to be positive ways.
I have four kids of my own, and I totally agree with you. It can be very challenging at times. How do we communicate that effectively as parents to really see these benefits that you're talking about? Better sleep, better study, better health.
The first thing is to know that we do have the power to motivate our kids to change their behavior. Nobody can change someone else, but we really do have the ability to encourage them to live their best lives in ways that are meaningful to kids. It's so true. And how old are your kids?
Mine range between 6 and 16.
Right. And so, I mean, until what age would you agree? I would say at least until age 12 and sometimes all the way up through 18. When we're talking to our kids, they do really care how we feel about what they're doing.
Well, I'd have to say that, you know, for the most part, until they're teenagers, sometimes they don't really seem to care. But then that kind of changes as well, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. And I do think the kids in their teen years, because their job is to push away from their family so they can start to figure out who they are as individuals, they often act like our opinion is of no matter to them. But studies show over and over and over again that our attitudes towards intimacy, towards substances, towards behavior does affect what our kids choose to do and how often they choose to do it. So what that comes down to is we're often the coolest person in the room when we're having a conversation with our kids. Meaning they really want to know what we think and maybe even want to do what we want them to do.
Well, that's an interesting point because I have a teenage daughter who, you know, I've kind of been struggling with for the last couple of years. But I kind of think that she likes me to say what time she needs to be home at and to say no sometimes. And it kind of gives her an out. And I could be wrong, but it seems like she wants me to say no sometimes.
And the research would bear you out. When, you know, there's some great studies. One that I really like because it's a little surprising to me as a parent and maybe to you as well, is that when kids have chores, when they have what was called in this study repetitive required work that isn't homework at home, those kids actually rated themselves as more likely to choose to spend their free time with their family rather than their friends.
Interesting.
So when we show our kids, hey, you're necessary, hey, we have high expectations for you, hey, you're important to us and you're a valued member of our family, even if they push back against that verbally or with their body language or things like that, it does actually do them good and it does make them feel more connected.
Well, I have, you know, my oldest is a teenager and then my next is 13. So the teenager, for the last couple of years, she spent a lot of time in her room. She's starting to come out of it now. Is that normal?
It absolutely is. And it's a really nice metaphor because what happens to a lot of kids, and psychologists call this recentering, which I think is a really nice way of saying that they often start to act like their toddler selves. Mm-hmm. They become really self-involved. What do people think of me? What's happening to me? How does that thing that's really important to you affect me.
It's all about me, yeah.
Right. It is all about me. And just like it was all about me when our kids were 2 and 3, it's all about me again when they're 12, 13, 14. And psychologists say this is normal. It's because of the work that's going on, the chemical changes, the growth, the hormones. And yet we've come to expect by the time our kids are 12 that they will look a little bit outside themselves and be kind to other people in the family and have a larger worldview than their 3-year-old selves. So it can be kind of surprising to us as parents and a little bit dismaying as well that here are our children who we were counting on to behave like humans, and they go back to behaving in a very self-interested way. But it is a normal change. And what we can do as parents is both respect that they're going through this developmental phase and also continue to show them that we have high expectations for them. Continue to say, just like we said when our kids were toddlers, we said, yep, it's a normal thing for you to try hitting. And I say, no, you may not hit. So it's a normal thing for a 13-year-old to be really self-involved and kind of selfish. And I say, no, you may not treat your brother that way.
Now, how old are your kids? 'Cause you have
my kids are 12, 10, 8, and 6.
Okay, so similar ages.
Yes.
Now, are there times in a child's life when that are crucial to us being good parents to them?
Here's what I genuinely believe about that. There's no time that we can take the gloves off and say, okay, we're good. You know, we can high-five our partner and say we've crossed the finish line or they don't need us right now. But it's also, and you know, with a large family, it is impossible to be an intentional parent 100% of the time. A lot of parenting is about inventory management, making sure everybody has their backpack and everyone is fed and accounted for and getting rides to where they need to be. So if you can be an intentional parent, thinking about your child's character, even 10% of the time, even 10% of our interactions with our kids, if they can be geared towards helping them become the kinds of adults we can really respect and admire, it's going to make a huge difference in the people that we raise. Mm.
I know that when I turned 13, my mom said I went from being a nice kid to, you know, a great kid, I guess, to being terrible in the sense that she didn't know what happened to me. I went a little bit wild. And, you know, part of the thing that was going on was some of the stuff that was happening at school that really you don't talk about with your parents. How do you open those lines of communication?
You know, I have a whole bunch of videos that I put up on YouTube. I put up one every week with a different one-minute tip. And one of the best tips that I found from a friend years ago was instead of asking my kids, how was your day? Or, you know, how are you doing? Anything they could answer briefly. We play a game at our table that we call high, low, high. So we ask everyone at dinner or at breakfast, whatever meal we're all having together, to think about the day that's just passed and tell us something great that happened, something lousy that happened, and something else great that happened. And in that way, we hear the real stories.
And what are the kinds of stories that you hear from your kids that maybe surprise you?
Some of the lousy moments give us real insight into their values, into what's important to them in that moment. So our second grader said recently the day that had just passed had been the day that everybody went to school, not the first day, but the day before that to see where their lockers were and meet their teachers and things like that. And I was surprised when he said that his low was finding out that he was with the teacher that was considered the nicest, best, most wonderful teacher in the whole school. He got her homeroom. And so we said, that's your low? You know, my older boys who've had her said, how can that be your low? She's amazing. And he said, well, I noticed that all the other kids who are in that classroom are not very good listeners, so they must think I'm not a good listener. And it would have never occurred to me that was something that he was concerned about. Yeah. And so it led to this great conversation actually between our older sons and him about why he might be in that class and that it doesn't change what he knows about himself, that he does care about listening and he does work on it hard. And they were able to give him, in kid speak, real encouragement that I'm not sure would have been as valuable to him coming from his parents.
A few weeks ago, Robin Williams committed suicide, and how do we deal with issues like this with children?
I know, because I face it myself, that it can be very frightening to talk to our kids about large issues, about substances or substance abuse or intimacy issues or mental health issues, but I really try and encourage my husband and myself and my friends and parents everywhere to look at these as an opportunity. If this is something that's in the news and your kids are going to hear about it, you know, if they're under seven, I agree with the American Psychiatric Association who says you don't have to talk about this if it's not going to touch your family directly. But if it's in the news and your kids are going to hear about it, use it as an opportunity to start to talk to them about the harder issues when it's not directly touching your family.
We're talking with Dr. G. She's written a book called Get the Behavior You Want Without Being the Parent You Hate. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding more about how to be a great parent.